said? Thank you. You got your garden? You got that garden of prayer where you go and you are with the Lord and know His presence, know His peace, know the joy of knowing that He is there with you. And that's the beautiful aspect of what prayer is all about. It really is. So, anyway, last week I shared with you on the renewal that comes through prayer, and I used our Lord as an example. Because in every situation, didn't matter what it was, when Jesus had a decision, something that was to be accomplished for His Father, He always first went to prayer. He prayed to God. He prayed. It wasn't a thing that Jesus did in any aspects that He didn't first pray. And that is the point of issue in our world today, that God's people, if we're going to renew the church today, and the church is going to come alive again, it's going to have to be spending individually a lot of your life needs to get down humbled before God on your knees and be in praying for God, not only to renew your life, but to renew the church, to renew it in every aspect of its being today. Because there is no doubt in this preacher's mind that the church is drifting. And there's a lot of ways where I can see Christ is outside the door knocking, wanting to get back into its fellowship and to sharing with God's people today. But the only door God has opened to you is that you have the privilege through your great high priest to enter into the great throne of God in heaven and there to seek His will and to ask for His help and to ask for every aspect of what you need and what you and I have. There are two aspects. We not only pray for ourselves, but we pray for others. A lot of people's prayers don't go very far because all we're doing is seeking our own selfish needs. Well, we ought to be supplication and prayer and for the needs of others. Little boy happened to have the privilege of going to church service with his mom and dad. And as he was sitting there and everything else, and it was a whole day of prayer. And I mean, he just really got all caught up in it. And that night he went up to his bed, got down on his knees, and he started praying. He said, "Father, God," he says, "we just had a wonderful time in church today. I wish you could have been there." You know, oh dear. Well, we all have a secret weapon which can cure our deepest woes. It can tear down walls of hatred and confront our godless foes. Doesn't cost $1 million. We can guarantee will peace. It's not an A-bomb nor an H-bomb, yet it makes the war dream cease. It's not guarded from the millions. Each of us can do our share. It grows stronger as you use it. It's the better thing known as prayer. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond what you and I dream and ask through the power that is within us. You and I are to pray in the Spirit. God has empowered us as His people. We'll see that. We are a powerful people because we have faith in a powerful God. And there's nothing impossible with God. But God has always been dependent on His people, not only being obedient to Him, but calling upon His name, calling upon His will, seeking Him in every way. And God has always responded and always accomplished His purpose. People, we are in a time frame of history where you and I are called upon by the Spirit of the living God through this word that we need to be humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt us in due time. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But brother, you and I are in a battle. There's a war going on in the world today. And the only way you and I can help, and the only way you and I have got, we have a weapon. And the world doesn't have it. It's not only the Word of God, it's prayer. How is your prayer life? How would you assess it this morning? Do you pray regularly? The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. Isn't that what it says? Do you have that time frame? How many prayers that you have prayed could you testify that God has answered? Is your prayer life that relative to you and God and His will and His purpose in your life that you could actually be able to give testimony of the time frames that you can know in your heart that God heard your prayers and He answered them? Now, He always answers in His own time. in his own way, but God does answer our prayers, okay? Why do you pray? What is the purpose for it? Why do you pray? Is that the Christian thing to do? Is that why we do it? Just because the Bible teaches we is that why we do it? James warns us that sometimes we don't get what we ask for because we ask with wrong motives, that we might heap it upon our own desires and etc. We are warned about that, aren't we? Yeah, we are. Do you find your relationship with God and with His Son has grown stronger and stronger as you have built that personal, intimate relationship with God that comes through prayer? Is that what you're experiencing? Have you experienced that? You see, does God want you to pray? Does God desire you to pray? Does God want you to pray for what you desire? Is there a God in heaven who wants to give you the desires of your heart? Does He say that He does? Yeah, He does. And does God delight in giving to His children? Does God delight in blessing us? Does He or doesn't He? If a father and a son would ask his father for a loaf of bread, would he give him a stone? And he went on and said, if the evil will give their sons and their daughters what they desire, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those who are His children good things? You see, every good gift, and there's no shadow variation with God, everything good comes down from your Father in heaven. Everything good. God is a good God. And God loves His children. God loves you and me more than you and I probably will let Him know until we're really in the aspect of His presence. But the point is, God loves us. He proved it by letting His Son die for us. And if while we were yet enemies, unreconciled to God, now we are, and He loved us then, how much more does He love us now that we have been reconciled, that we are His children? Romans chapter 5. The whole point is this morning, have you made the most of what God has done in opening up our opportunity to call upon Him and to pray? Because life today and every day, I believe, we need to be devoted to it. We need to become devoted to prayer. Prayer is the most powerful, God-given possession, presence that you and I have. It's powerful. It's powerful. And if you and I would just see it as it is in the eyes of God, I think it would mean maybe a lot more to you in the time frame you spend in your prayer. It's important that we take our eyes off the circumstances of what's going on in the world. And we need to focus our eyes on God. Jesus warned in Luke 21 that people's hearts will wax cold because of what's coming upon the earth. The church cannot grow cold. We cannot become indifferent. We cannot lose our compassion. We cannot lose our hearts for the lost and for the need and for what's going on in our world, for the poor. We still need to be God's people and have a heart of Christ in us. And we need to feel and the pain and the agony of what it means and what people are going through today. We can't become indifferent to it. We can't become cold to it. We need to be the people that God has, and we need to have His heart. You see, Psalms 46:10 says, cease striving. Cease striving and know that I am God. The New Testament says it different. Be anxious for nothing. But in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, accompanied with thanksgiving. And then what does it say? And the peace of God that is indescribable, passing all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you don't need somebody, God of heaven, guarding your hearts and minds what's going on in the world today? Be anxious for nothing. But I love the verse preceding that. He said, let your gentle spirit be seen to all men. Gentle. How can I remain gentle in what's all going on? I'll tell you how I can remain calm and collect, because I know who's in control. I said, I know who's in control. I know there's nothing going on in the world today that isn't accomplishing God's eternal purpose. You believe that? Huh? You believe that? I don't believe God wound the world up like an alarm clock and is waiting for the end. I believe He's actively involved in my life and in your life. Bible says all things work together for good by God to those who love Him and are called to His purpose, right? Does that mean that God is not actively involved in my life? Well, it certainly does. Does it not say that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us? Isn't that what it says? Yeah, we are. Yes, we are. And there's no question about that. And so I am constantly aware of the fact of what I have control over nothing except my attitude, my heart, my mind, and I choose to put my trust and faith in God. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll guide and direct your path. What does your Bible say? Proverbs chapter 3. Man, that's the best formula you could ever find to live every day of your life, trusting God with all your heart. Right? Right. So in Colossians chapter 4, Paul begins in chapter 4 of Colossians, verse 2 through 4. This is what he says. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Notice here again, you can't pray. You can't come to a God and not be a God, a child that is expressing your gratitude and your thanksgiving to Him. Paul said in Thessalonians chapter 5, be thankful for everything, for this is the will of God. What is God's will? He wants a grateful, thankful people. And the more grateful and thankful you are, the more you realize how necessary it is that you become devoted to your prayer and get yourself before God and into that throne room where you can find help and grace in time of need. That's the whole point of the whole issue, is that aspect of it, okay? And what does devote mean? It means to apply complete attention to it. It means that you can consecrate you to it. That means you give yourself to it. You're completely dedicated to prayer. It's not something you do. It's a lifestyle. Pray without ceasing. That means you're continuously aware of the presence of God in your life and how dependent you are upon His will and His purpose for your life. And you're constantly aware and communicating with Him. Now, you don't have to shout. You don't have to yell. It's all internal, isn't it? Your spirit having fellowship with God's spirit, can't you just speak to Him in the inner man? Doesn't He know your heart? Doesn't He know your thoughts? Doesn't He know the intents of your heart? And don't forget you have the Holy Spirit as one who intercedes on your behalf. When you don't know what God's will is, He intercedes on our behalf. We've spoken on that, doesn't He? Doesn't He? Yeah. So what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, that Sermon on the Mount? This is what He said, ask and it shall be given to you. Wow. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Notice those are active words. Knock, seek, whatever, okay. Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks shall find. And he who knocks it shall be opened to him. Isn't that what it says? Huh? Those are in the Greek present tense. That means you keep on knocking. You keep on seeking. You're always in the point of asking. It isn't knock once. It's knock, 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 knock. The Bible, Jesus gave parables of consistency. Knocking on the door. Going to your neighbor because you have something. You had a visitor drop in on you. You can't and you don't have. You need to borrow from him. And because of your consistent, persistent knocking on the door, the man gave you what he needs. And that is an illustration of God, isn't it? Knocking, seeking, wanting, desiring His will. What man is there again among you that if your son asks for a loaf, you will give him a stone? If he shall ask for a fish, you will give him a snake? I mean, think about it, okay? And will he? Well, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. What? You don't have because you don't what? You don't ask. There are 10 things that need to accompany devotion and devoted prayer life, okay? Number one is a growing relationship with God. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God anticipates his children will be growing, maturing, going on from the milk to the meat, maturing, growing up in Christ. That is the program that God shows me in the book. And that way, the growing is in relationship to him, a personal relationship with God. That is why God allowed his son. So he and you and I could have that personal relationship with the creator of the universe. You need to have that growing relationship. You need to have a change in your perspective. Okay? You have to have a change in your perspective. You need to change from your perspective to God's. Okay? What did John see? He saw a throne. Right? Hebrews says that we have a great high priest who is tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. And he can empathize, feel, experience. He knows exactly what you're going through every minute of your day. And that it is through our great high priest we can enter in his name into the great throne room of God. And we can seek his will, seek for help in every aspect of our time of need. Brother, we're in need today of God being actively involved in the church and our personal lives. We're in need of it, okay? And he says here very clearly then that he sees the elders. He sees the seven horns, seven eyes, seven spirits, perfect on earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him. That's God who sat on the throne. He took the book, the four living creatures, the four elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp, golden bowl, full of incense, which are the what? What are they? They're the prayers of God's people. And what were they doing? We're filling the incense. Remember the tabernacle? There was the tables of the candlesticks, the incense. God dwelt there in a cloud, and that incense would form up in a smoke, and God and it would intermingle, and God's will and my will. That's a symbol of that. When you're praying, your will and God's will is coming together. And the oneness. And God tells us that our prayers, our prayers as they ascend to him, okay, are like a sweet-smelling incense. And they sang a new song, and they praised God for it. I'm moving on here. But the Lamb took the seventh seal, and then he took and he said that so they might add, took the incense given to him, that he might add it to the prayers of who? All the saints on the golden altar which was before. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire of the altar, threw it on the earth, and there followed peals of thunder, sound and flashing of lightning. I'm telling you, God needs a people that will pray for God to bring judgment upon the evil and the wicked in the world. And when you pray for God to do something and to move in this world that is turning against him, rebelling against him, and your prayers go up into that incense and the incense is added, whatever, God is going to send fire and judgment on the earth today. You hear me? You hear me? You hear me? Well, hear John today, because that came through the Holy Spirit. Come on, people. Your prayers go to God. Like an aroma of incense. And it's in golden vases. And it's pure and it's holy before God. And it adds to God's will and his purpose. And it even can move and have an impact. And God can move in this world today if we just pray. And get devoted to it. Isn't that what it said? I said, isn't that what it said? Time to say yes or no. That's what it said, right? Huh? Right? Who was the man that God selected to become the first Gentile converted to Christianity? 10 years after Pentecost, there was a man named Cornelius. You know what the Bible says about him? He was a devout man. He gave alms to the people. You know what else it says? It says that his prayers ascended to God like a memorial. You don't think that means that his prayers moved God's heart, that God selected him to become the first Gentile to hear the precious gospel and become a part of the kingdom of God? I think it did. Don't you? Have you changed your perspective a little bit? Can you see the significance of why you should be devoted to prayer? Can you see the impact that it can have upon the will of God and His movement and His activity in the world today? The church is dying. The church is losing its heart for evangelism. The church is losing its heart for the building up of the people and teaching them to absorb all things. We're not teaching the saints. People are biblically ignorant today. You can go in the average congregation today and give them a biblical quiz, and I guarantee you most of them would flunk it. All we're concerned about is building bigger churches. Doesn't matter who they are, what they are. Doesn't matter if they're mature, strong, biblically baptized. Doesn't matter anymore. Let's just build big churches today. Well, if you read the seven churches, you'll see that's exactly what was going to happen. And it's happening all over. It really is. I believe that in my prayer I have found peace that passes all understanding. What have you found? I don't worry about tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. Okay? I find it has a purifying effect on my life. I can't go before a holy God knowing there are sins in my life. About you. I believe it calls upon me to repent and change my whole concept of life. And I mean, I've preached a series on sanctification, right? And God sanctifies us, makes us a holy people unto Himself as He is holy. I can't go before God in prayer and not find myself beginning to grow in every area of my life. I can't love the way God wants me to love if I don't spend time praying for the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit. And give me that power, because the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in my heart. God doesn't care about yours. He wants you to become a vessel through which His love flows to the world that we live in today. You have to have a passion for God. Like a deer panting after the water, so my soul pants for you, God. Man, if you have that passion, how much time would you be spending with Him in prayer? You know, I am totally convinced that we need to be convinced that we are totally reliant upon God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So the power is there, people. God has offered us all the power we need in the world to conquer it and to do His purpose. But that power will not be unleashed by sitting in pews. It will be unleashed on your knees, prostrate on the ground, standing out in the woods with your hands and your eyes lifting up to heaven from whence cometh your help. I don't care what you do or how you do it. God doesn't either. But you need to humble yourself before God and become devoted that you're going to start talking to Him. You're going to communicate with Him. He said ask. He said seek. He said knock. Didn't He? Yes, He did. Pray without ceasing. Be persistent. Be on the alert. Because I guarantee you this. Something I do know. That if Satan's going to attack you, he's going to attack you then. He'll get your mind on everything else. He'll try to twist you. Get your mind off on what your purpose is and all the other aspects of it. And you'll find yourself getting confused and whatever. Oh, yes, I do remember something. Do you remember something? Anything going through your minds right now on this subject matter? May I ask you this question? How many of you got your closet? How many of you do what Jesus said for you to do? Go into your closet and pray secretly. And your Father in heaven will hear in secret. But what did He say? But He will answer openly. We need our closets. You need your closet. That's where you're going to get renewed. You need to be devoted that you're going to find that time where you can have your time just with you and your Father in heaven. Amen? I tell you, everything depends on you. If this congregation is going to be what God wants it to be, it will be because you and me pray for it to become the people that God wants us to be. All right? God bless you. Think about it. Become devoted to it. Give yourself to it. Be committed to it. Dedicate yourself, that you're going to become a person of prayer and opening the door of heaven on behalf of everyone. Now, could I stand and tell you all the testimonies of your prayers and what they've done for my daughter way down there in Florida, Georgia? You know, every prayer you have specifically prayed has been answered to the detail. She had somebody offer yesterday and put an offer on the house. What have we been praying? She was shocked. She believed and didn't think that the house would ever sell. But God is apt, and He does the impossible, doesn't He? I mean, it is. Whether you know the circumstances, I can't tell you all the circumstances. I just want you to know God heard your prayers on Sherry's behalf, and He's answered them specifically. It's amazing to me. I can find, Mel and I can find peace up here in Michigan, even though our daughter's down there, because we know God's answering our prayers. I'm serious. Really. God is good. He is faithful. Don't waver, because the God who promised is faithful. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to ask Virge, if he will. Virge, would you have a closing prayer for us?